Hello, this is a show from Radia. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners. Each week we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond. Are you up for it?
For the first several centuries of memory, the spirit voice was heard only rarely at night when people were singing together under the vaulted beams of the Whare Nui. The spirit voice is high-pitched, barely audible. It seems to come from above the whare or high up in the rafters, humming along with the song sung by the living. Māori call the spirit voice Te Irirangi. Within the last century, suddenly, Ngā Irirangi have come to be heard almost ubiquitously. Inside almost every house, every night, even inside automobiles. For Irirangi has also come to be the Māori name for radio waves. Dear listeners, this broadcast is a radio séance. A séance brings into metaphysical alignment three elements. One, a spirit to be summoned. Two, the medium to summon it. Three, the living witnesses to whom the spirit reveals itself. At this moment, dear listeners, the witness is you. The medium is the radio. The radio proved beyond all scientific doubt that a voice, a spirit, is not bound to matter, to its body or the soil towards which gravity pulls. A wire cylinder or shellac disc is taxidermied sound, trapping voices in amber. But spirit voices, carried by radio waves, are unequivocally alive. Most importantly, the spirit our radio seance seeks to summon is the spirit of Vera Wise Munro. She died 50 years ago where she was born, within earshot of the sheltered but deep waters of the Whangaruru Harbour in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Her body, if we are to presume she had such a thing, never left the islands of Aotearoa. But one could say that Vera Wise Munro's spirit had spent most of her life outside her body, carried, buffeted by the charge of a solar wind through the ionosphere and across the globe. For Vera Wise Munro was an amateur radio operator, a radio ham, as they are called. She was also a fiddler, and with her violin, she engaged in experimental telematic musical conversations with duet partners around the Pacific Rim and further afield. Dear listeners, our radio seance seeks to summon the spirit of Vera Wise Munro by reenacting her telematic radio broadcasts, exchanging sounds of violins and voices across the Pacific Ocean. As I speak, two violinists are poised and ready. One is on Ngāti Whātua land, the northern shores of the Waitemata Harbour in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
Okay.
The other is a few miles from the Pacific sandstone cliffs once home to the Kumeyaay people on the southern Californian coast. They cannot see each other, but they can hear each other in near-perfect real time. There is no score for them to reproduce, for there are no extant recordings of Vera Wise Munro's radio broadcasts. But a séance is not an exhumation. It does not seek evidence of a material, physical body. Instead, we re-inhabit the places where Vera Wise Munro's spirit dwelt, Aotearoa, the Pacific, the ionosphere, wood, hair and strings, and a readiness to communicate. We listen to their resonances to guide us in our reenactment of Vera Wise Monroe's journeys into the ionosphere.
Raw radio, i.e. each violin regarding its solitarily sounded self upon invocation of the uncoiled D-strung, a periodic universe. In other words, that which the violin alone reflects upon invocation of the uncoiled D-strung, a periodic universe, i.e. each violin.
Vera Wise Monroe was born in 1897 in the remote farming community of Helena Bay, raised by her grandmother Netta and mother Catherine. Luxuries such as music were few, but the Helena Bay schoolteacher Mr. Shaw, who was a fiddler of modest talent, began teaching Vera violin when she was a young teenager. In the absence of a real instrument, Vera played on a makeshift violin made of an old biscuit canister with wire strings and a flax fiber bow.
This wind tunes the harp, tuning in the wind, chilly wind rewinding its snowfall on thin wire, and in attuning to nature's intonation, we tune out, chilly wind rewinding its noisy whirls on thin wire. This wind tunes the harp tuning in the wind, chilly wind rewinding its noisy whirls on thin wire.
Through the influence and tutelage of a Swiss emigre in Whangaruru, the orologist and orchardist Joseph Maeder, Vera Monroe began building and experimenting with primitive radio receivers around 1910 or 1911. Having taught herself Morse code from a maritime handbook, Monroe would tune into the communications of ships in and out of Whangarei Harbour. Her earliest sound experiments involved passing the calls of native birds, as Morse, into non-semantic proto-language poetry, which she would intone aloud while accompanying herself on the fiddle.
The songbird sings without guile its self-same song, which sung as music sounds puerile, but upon reaching mile over mile sings this self-same song, which sung as music sounds puerile. The songbird sings without guile its same song, which sung as music sounds puerile, but upon reaching mile over mile sings this self-same.
By 1912, Maeder and Monroe were receiving communications from Australia and German Samoa. Monroe was mesmerized by radio's vast spectrum of sound and would spend hours on end tuning between different wavelengths and playing her tin can violin in duet with whatever static or signal she could find.
Morse chorus. What is the question, reverb? Are we QRV? Beep, 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 ready to communicate the message. Very important message, that is, we are QRV. Beep, 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 beep. Ready to communicate. What is the question reverse? Are we QRV? Beep, 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 beep. Ready to communicate the message. Very important message, that is, we are.
The Post and Telegram are Internet Act of 1913, imposed a ban on all amateur radio activity in the name of national security. Radio Admiral resolved to maintain their radio setup regardless, although they moved it inland behind a range of hills so as to be invisible from shore, and concealed the area or coding tree by day.
The voice of reason is going to sing, so to speak. Over.
Clear to sing, though singing voice is no longer voice of reason, so to speak. Over.
Clear to sing, the voice of reason is going to sing, so to speak. Over.
Rather that.
It's possible we mistake the medium for the message, the inner thrill of contact for the content itself, until music on air only repeats, ready to communicate, the inner thrill of contact for the content itself. It's possible we mistake the medium for the message.
QSO. To you turning these dials to tune a music, a tune by a turn to us poor machines, marking frequencies of our appearing and ceasing to, a tune by turn to us poor machines, you turning these dials, tune a music, tune by turn to us, marking frequencies of our appearing and ceasing to. .10 MHz. The time is 1:51 PM. Hearing some rad gypsy music. This is music. Tonight is signal quality. Very good.
.08 MHz. Time is 11:14. Call sign W6KGG. I'm hearing some baroque music. It's cutting in and out. Signal quality is a little patchy.
.10 MHz. Time is 2:14 PM. Some schmaltzy fiddling going on. Signal quality is fair.
108.0 megahertz, time it's 11:15, call sign W6KGG. I'm hearing some kind of rock music. Signal quality is fine. A second nature in the radio others' waves. We think we understand and are caught in wake of the radio others' waves. We think we understand cipher of a second nature in the radio others' waves.
Space bounce. ZL2VM detuned from frequency chatter, becoming indifferent to the periodic refrain. Ready to communicate, ready to communicate, ready to communicate. Sense of which uncoils like copper threads, indifferent to the periodic refrain. Ready to communicate, ready to communicate, ready to communicate. ZL2VM detuned from radio frequency chatter, indifferent to the periodic beat. Ready to communicate. Ready to
listen, the radio intelligence is reaching out to no other that is its self. That is, the radio intelligence reaches out, finds its other indifferent to no other that is its self. That is, listen. Radio intelligence is reaching out to no other that is itself.
The circumstances and causes of Vera Wise Monroe's death are unknown. Since returning to Whangarooroo in 1961, Monroe's interest in making contact and conversation with fellow radio hams appears to have waned. She no longer engaged with radio as a technology for long-distance communication between humans. Instead, she devoted her efforts to communing with raw radio itself. In the last years of Vera Wise Monroe's life, radio amateurs, following successful experiments by the US military, had begun experimenting with moon bounce, a technique for optimizing wave propagation by bouncing waves off the moon to reflect back to a receiver on Earth. What made this method of radio propagation so startling was that, for the first time, radio communication experienced latency. Radio waves, traveling at the speed of light, orbit the Earth in less than 1/7 of a second. Radio waves travel to the moon and back with a latency of 2.5 seconds. A pregnant pause for any ham accustomed to the immediacy of terrestrial radio. Vera Monroe eagerly embarked on moon bounce experiments, but quixotically set her sights further than the moon. She set about measuring the distance of other bodies in the solar system by timing the latency of radio waves bouncing off celestial objects. A radio wave bouncing off Mars would return to Earth within 6 to 9 minutes, depending on the planet's orbital positions. A Pluto bounce takes nearly 1.5 hours to return to its origin. Vera's interstellar radio experiments were informed by Polynesian navigational systems, grounded on a commanding knowledge of the configuration of the heavens. Towards the end of her life, Vera Wise Monroe also developed a fixation with immortality. Her experiences of interplanetary radio bounce led her to an unshakable conviction that the past boomeranged back to the present through radio waves. She scanned the skies devotedly, seeking out radio waves from the past, hearing what she identified as her own broadcasts from her youth and the broadcasts of her intimate yet invisible acquaintances whose call signs had long since fallen silent. She set about immortalizing herself by sending out microwave broadcasts which she calculated would return to Earth in 51-year cycles, like the reappearance of a comet. Now, finally, it is 51 years after she was apotheosized into the ionosphere. Dear listeners, this radio seance seeks to summon the spirit of Vera Wise Monroe. We seek this by attempting to receive her final radio broadcasts, launched 51 years ago into deep space and now returning to Earth. This requires the witness of radio enthusiasts around the globe, like yourself, to collectively keep vigil on the ionosphere. The forthcoming instructions will lead you in a sequence for optimizing your own radio and listening environment to receive Monroe's final broadcasts. Once the instructions are complete, you may begin. First, you must eliminate from your local environment the interference of thermal and electrical noise screaming through today's atmosphere. Only then can you hope to hear the weak, weary footfalls of radio waves returning from a 300 trillion mile journey, waves which will hardly recognize this crowded ionosphere as the one from which they left. Turn off all electrical lights in your environment. Unplug from mains power as many electrical devices as you safely can, especially televisions and wireless routers. If it is daytime, draw the curtains or darken your environment to reduce the interference of solar radiation. Second, you will need to switch your radio receiver to the AM band to receive Monroe's amplitude-modulated transmissions. This will also steer you away from the interference of high-power FM commercial radio. You must carefully adjust the tuning, position, and direction of your radio until you find the quietest place on the AM band. In most regions, this will be the very highest or lowest AM frequencies, the no man's lands at the far edges of regulated broadcasting. Make sure you have tuned out of station broadcasting and into the emptiness of raw radio. Slowly and methodically, adjust the position and direction of your antenna and radio until you have filtered out as much static as you can. It may be necessary to provide extra grounding for your radio by either holding the antenna firmly with both hands or tightly between your teeth. Find the calm, quiet blackout zone where roaring static dips into a hushed crackle. Keep persevering. Finally, you must adjust the consciousness of your listening. Close your eyes. Open your ear to invite the unexpected and the impossible. Press your ear tightly against the speaker of your radio. Strain your cochlea to hear through the rush of the static and excavate a passageway into the far electromagnetic distance. Imagine the signal you expect to receive, but ready yourself to receive the unexpected. Dear listeners, some final words before I leave you to perform your séance alone. Whatever you may or may not hear through your radio may or may not be the final broadcasts of Vera Wise Monroe. Perhaps today is not the day they return to roost. Perhaps we have missed them entirely. Perhaps they will never return to Earth, or perhaps when they do, they will be too quiet for human ears to hear. This is the nature of history. Most of it goes unheard. Some histories never manage to boomerang back to the present. Some are not heard by the living when they do, and some are heard but not understood. All we can do is listen and hope that whenever and wherever we are not listening, someone else is.
What waves back to the radio wave? Some radio other, matter particular, full, ever refracting, periodic refrain, ready to communicate, as some radio other, matter particular, full, ever refracting, what waves back to the radio waves.
Dear listeners, you may begin.
End of transmission. Find us on the internet, radia.fm. Over and out.